think it's working now. Well, we'll give it a go. Can you trim it? Hopefully. I don't know what she's... There might be some stuff at the beginning. Sorry. Of me playing with it. Okay. I think it's working. And because I'm a teacher, I have some handouts at the end. It's sort of homework, but you don't have to write anything, so that's the, you know, that's the blessing. Okay, so. All right. Get all situated. Oh, I know it. In one of my, well, that's fine. Whatever. That's fine. We just move on. I was going to be prepared and, like, give Justin scriptures ahead of time so he could have them up there, but, you know. Sorry, Justin. I thought about it. Tried to be prepared. We're working at it, guys, right? Better every day, every morning. Yes, amen. Okay, so today, so last time, oh, actually, before we even get started, I just want to give thanks to God. So we're going to pray really quick. Lord God, just praying over the message. Lord, I pray, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to speak your word, Father. It is an honor to get to serve you, Lord, in any capacity at all. And so I just pray that I would just honor you this morning, Lord. I just pray that our hearts would be ready to receive. I pray that the words that come forth in love, Lord, and that is your love to your congregation here, Father God. I just pray that these words would land on hearts ready to receive seed, Father. I just pray that you would till up any hard ground that we have, Father, and that this would go forth, Lord, and plant your seed, fertilize it, make it grow, God, that we would draw closer to you every single day and just seek you, Father, with our whole hearts. Praise you, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So last time I talked, I really just preached the gospel and just preaching about Jesus, and it was awesome because Jesus is awesome. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, like, right after I gave that message, I pretty much knew next time Tammy asked me to talk that I was going to speak about sanctification because it really just comes next, okay? And so sanctification, I'm just going to go ahead and define that. Let's see. Okay, is to be set apart from sin, consecrated to God, resulting in a holy life. So set yourself apart from sin, consecrated to God, and resulting in a holy life. I think it was so awesome because we did a lot of songs this morning talking about how holy God is. And that holy is also God is set apart, right? He is completely as perfectly set apart from us as you can even imagine. Doesn't even exist inside the constraints of time and space, and it's something that our brains can't even fathom or imagine or understand, so we just come up with words like holy to describe it, right? And sometimes I feel like we take that word for granted, but that's what God is really trying to do in us, is that sanctification process. As soon as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we begin or should be beginning that sanctification process, setting ourselves apart from the world, right? Consecrating ourselves to God and having that holy life that God has called us to. And then so I'm just going to share a couple scriptures. First, Hebrews 10:14. Don't worry, I put them all in the handout, but write them down anyways, okay, because notes are good. I just said it slow so that maybe Justin would get it. 10:14, sorry, if I go too fast for you. Hebrews 10:14. Okay, it says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The single offering being Jesus, and he is sanctifying us. It says being, right? It's a continual process, right, of being sanctified. We're always going through this process, and it gets easier at times, but it gets different. Different things become to challenge us in our sanctification process, okay? Now, our 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 2:12 through 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, I want you guys to really, we're going to talk about obedience today. So, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, and this is Paul talking, not in his presence, don't only obey in his presence, but much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Okay, so in all three of these different verses, God is working in us to sanctify us, right? It is not in our own power or ability to sanctify ourselves, okay? It's not that I can do it on my own. It's I need God to do it in me, and we're going to work with God in that sanctification, because it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to have that reverence toward God to be able to work forward in that and trust in God that he's going to do the things that he said he would do in us when we submit ourselves to him, when we follow him, when we choose to take the old self and put it aside and put on the new self. We have to trust that God's going to walk us out in that, right? It's through that reverence that we will acknowledge him and give him thanks in everything he's doing in our lives. It's also through that gratitude towards him. We have to be willing to look at the different things that God has done in our lives already and then give thanks to him, right? Too often we don't look at the things that God has done for us and give him thanks. How many of you guys prayed for safety in some capacity in the last week? Prayed for somebody else to be safe, and are they still safe? And did you thank God for it? Okay? I think that's like a common prayer that I realized recently, like I'll pray for somebody to be safe or, you know, safe travels home or whatever, but then I forget to say, thank you, God, they got home safe. Like that is an answered prayer that I forget to say thank you about, right? And we don't know what that prayer, because sometimes we just say prayers automatically, like that kind of prayer, and we don't know what it actually prevented from happening, okay? Because you sent forth that word, God was acting in it. He's upon it, right? We don't know if something the enemy had planned was going to happen, but because you spoke that word, it didn't, okay? So being careful to really see where our prayers are answered and what God is doing in our lives so that we can give him thanks and glorify him, okay? We're going to go to 1 Samuel 15 and talk a little bit, give a little visual based on Saul's life. I'm giving you guys time. 1 Samuel 15, if you want to turn there. I didn't hear a lot of Bibles flipping. Where's my youth? Youth, you guys got your Bibles? Oh, good, good. That's why I didn't hear it. It was on the phone. Good job. You can't use yours because I have it. Okay, so obedience is a huge part of the sanctification process and being obedient to God. And so God put this story of Saul on my heart, so I'm sharing it, and I absolutely see how when we're obedient, that helps us to sanctify ourselves, and we are obedient with God's help, right? We can't do everything on our own. And partial obedience is not sanctification. When you know what you're supposed to do and do not do it, you are in sin. That's what James 4:17 says. So if we know what we should be doing and don't do it, then we are in sin. And I don't even just mean the things that the Bible says. Those things are kind of black and white and obvious. But sometimes God calls you to do something, like I felt like on my heart today to pray over marriages. And if I don't do that, because I'm worried about the time constraint, then I'm in sin. Okay? So sometimes God's calling us to something, and if we neglect it, then we're off. We're missing the mark. Okay? All right. 15:10. And we're talking about Saul, King Saul. So he had been anointed king and the first king of the Israelites, and God's telling him to go out, and he tells him to destroy all the Amalekites because they had opposed Israel when they came out of Egypt, and they had all this time to repent, and they didn't. So he says, we're going to go out and destroy the Amalekites and tell Saul to wipe them out, pretty much, right? So in verse 10, it says, then the Lord said to Samuel, oh, sorry, and he doesn't do it the way God said, just as a heads up. So, then the Lord said to Samuel, I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night. Early the next morning, Samuel went to find Saul. Someone told him, Saul went to the town of Carmel to set up a monument to himself. Then he went to Gilgal. So this is the first thing I'm going to stop and just pause here. The monument to himself. Okay, this is the first issue that we're going to see about Saul here. He has made a monument. He's not giving glory to God, right? He's giving glory to himself, and God absolutely helped him in that battle and helped him to win it. But Saul has now seen himself as the mighty warrior and the mighty destroyer, so much so that he needs a monument to let everybody else know about that, right? So the same thing, you know, we're often not giving God credit for those things. So that's what I was really talking about there with the prayer and that kind of stuff. But also sometimes we go through hardships in our lives or different things that we have come out of, and we don't glorify God in those. We don't, when somebody says, oh, wow, I'm so proud of you for what you've accomplished in this. And we say, thank you, I know it was a lot of hard work. But where was God in that? Was God working in that? God put the right people in your path. God helped you come out of, you know, whatever, that mindset that you were struggling in. But did you give glory to God? That was your opportunity to speak about God there, right? I just had a moment where I almost didn't say that I was talking about the kitten that I got for Nana Jerry. And some of you guys know that Rowan and I had prayed for this kitten, and that I would get the kitten when I went to Fisher's that morning. And I went to Fisher's, and I was expecting it to be on a billboard, but things don't happen the way that you expect them to happen when you pray. And actually, the lady at the checkout had a kitten for me, and it was great. And we get to Nana Jerry, and then I had told the gal at the tire shop, I was just saying, we were talking about birthdays and stuff, and I was going to tell her about how I got the kitten, and then I was going to leave out the part where I prayed. Because sometimes we leave stuff out about God because we're so worried about what other people are going to think and making other people uncomfortable, right, that we don't, because I don't know what her, you know, where she's at and that. But then I thought, no, don't leave that out. It's a testimony, right? And so I said it, and then she goes, wow, your prayers get answered. amen. Prayers do get answered, right? So, but we do that in thinking, I'm not sure how this person's going to feel, okay? And we know that that's not what God wants us to be thinking. He doesn't want us to be worrying about, because this is our own experience. We wouldn't say, you know, we wouldn't hold back the name of the restaurant we went and ate at because we think it's great. This great restaurant I went and ate at, but I don't want to tell you the name because it might offend you, right? So we worry about saying Jesus because it might offend somebody. But that's still our truth, and it's still our experience, and we have to still give glory to God. Otherwise, we're giving glory to ourselves. It was all in my capacity that I worked hard to get this thing. I worked hard to get that. And we're not giving God the glory that he deserves. Does that make sense? And sometimes, you know, it's not about trying to make other people feel comfortable. It's actually that we take credit for overcoming those hardships ourselves. We're just going to take credit for it, and we're not going to even look and acknowledge God, right? And that's what Saul's doing here. He didn't acknowledge what God had done. He's building a monument to himself, and he's saying, look at how awesome I am. I think, you know, social media sometimes is that thing for, like, look at how awesome I'm doing, and, you know, that they're not sharing anything about God as a Christian, right, in that. So there's a lot of opportunity for us to give glory to God that we're missing out on and doing it in our own strength. Okay, so we just have to be careful and check our hearts as often as we can in that, because sometimes it's not on purpose, right? But we need to check ourselves and say, okay, where was God working in that, and can I glorify him in this? All right. So continuing on 13, I think. 13. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. "May the Lord bless you," he said. "I have carried out the Lord's command." That's the first thing he says. So he's like a kid. "Mom, I did everything right." Right? Thinks of my kids. "Then what is all the bleating of sheep and goats and the lowing of cattle, I hear?" Samuel demanded. "It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, goats, and cattle." And this is something God specifically said, don't do. He said, kill all of the animals. All of them, right? And Saul keeps the best ones. Saul admitted, "But they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord your God. We have destroyed everything else." I'm going to comment on this later. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night." "What did he tell you?" Saul asked. And Samuel told him, "Although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?" So I just talk about rushing for the plunder, okay? Sometimes we are going forth for God, but then the worldly things come up, okay? Seeking the worldly things over what God has for us, okay? This could be the house or the big truck or all the toys, the vacations, the promotions, getting better paying a job, etc. All of those things are actually good things. However, when we do them and they take us off of course of what God has spoken to us, then that draws us into sin. That draws us away from what God has for us. If those things are what God is pushing us toward, then they're great, right? I had somebody pray for me the other day, and she didn't know me at all, and she was like, what I see is that you're in a forest of trees, and it's really thick, and it's all good things you're doing, but it's too many things, and God says you're too busy. So it's not that I'm doing wrong things, but I'm doing too many things, and they're distracting me from God, right? So when those things come up, and it's pulling us away, those are that's us rushing for the plunder, us rushing for without checking with God first. Is this what you want me to do? Is this the direction you want me to go in? He wants to be part of our decisions, the big ones and the small ones, right? He wants to be in all of that. And Saul knew that God had said, don't get this, right? Sometimes we think, oh, I should probably not do this, or I should probably not spend my time doing whatever. Our time is another big one, right? But we do it anyways, or we go and buy this thing anyways instead of doing what we should have been doing. And that's really us rushing for the plunder instead of looking to God and seeing what he would have for us. And these are those things I'm talking about that it's not black and white, like in the word, right? It's the things that we know that God's put on our heart to go forth in, and then we don't do them. We put them to the side and say, it's not really that important. Probably that wasn't God talking to me anyways. It's just my own thoughts. I'm going to just go ahead and do this other thing. Okay. And for Saul, it was like, hey, these sheep are really awesome. And these goats and all the cattle and you know what? We don't have to use our supply. We can use their supply and sacrifice that to God, right? And that is not what God wants. So not good. All right, moving forward. On, let's see, 20. "But I did obey the Lord," Saul insisted. "I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And this just reminds me of, like, my children. And I'm like, I said, don't do that. And they're like, well, I didn't do whatever you said, Mom. Like, you're like, don't jump on the chair. And then they, like, get up there and they just stand up slowly on it. I didn't jump. I just got on it slowly, Mom. Right? It's just the same thing here in a different concept, right? Where I mostly did what God said, but I did it kind of a little bit different, right? So it's still okay, right? And Samuel says, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice?" and you think about this, of our sacrifices versus our obedience. Okay? Sometimes we're like, God, I've done all the things. I've sat around reading my Bible, and I've went to church, and I've worshiped, and I've done all this. Why have you not taken care of whatever I'm asking for? I've put up so much sacrifice. I've done this. And God's like, yeah, but you're still doing this other thing that I told you to stop doing. You're still doing this other thing that I put on your heart. Or you're not going in this direction that I said to go in, right? Sometimes it's just the absence of action. And you're like, but I did all the other things. It's not a checkbox system, right, with God. God's not looking for our checked boxes, right? He's looking for our heart, and where is our heart at toward him? Are we listening, and are we wanting to obey him because we revere him, we respect him, we love him, and we want to do the things that he's asked us to do because we trust him, because we trust that his way is the best way? This comes down to Saul doesn't trust God. He does not trust that God's way is the best way. He thinks God's way is a little bit good, and so is mine a little bit good, and we're going to marry these together, and that's going to be the best, right? But we know, yeah, we know that that is not true, right? It is not going to work out good for Saul here. But God doesn't want us just sacrificing and saying, God, I've done all of this. Where are you at? He wants our obedience. And it's the same if any of us have children or have worked with kids. We want the kids to do what we said. And we wanted them to do it the way we said it. Not halfway and kind of and a little bit. We want them to carry it out. And then we get frustrated when they don't, right? When they kind of did what I said. It gets frustrating. It's the same with God. That's what God's saying. You're not doing it. You're not hearing me. You're not actioning the way I want you to do it. You're not being obedient to my voice. And he says, Samuel says, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Okay, submitting ourselves to God is better than any offering that we could give. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. The rebellion, it's rebellion is like something that can be inside of us that we don't necessarily see. But God's saying here that it's as sinful as witchcraft, an outward display that is directly in contrast to what God wants us doing, right? So when you are rebelling against God and saying, I'm not going to do it in your way, it is as blatant sin as going out and doing some kind of witchcraft thing or whatever that everybody could see, okay? Stubbornness is as bad as worshiping idols. When you are too stubborn to let God work in your life because I got it, I can do this in my own strength, I don't need you, God, I got this, and you don't even have to say I don't need you, God, you just think I can do this because I'm me and I'm awesome. And yeah, you're doing the same thing, right? Your worship, he's saying it's as bad as worshiping idols, which is another outward display. You're almost worshiping yourself because you think, I got this. I can do it in my own strength. I don't need God, right? That's essentially what it says. I don't need you, right? So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. There's a little bit more there, but I said I was going to say this. I think I touched on that. Okay. So, rejected you as king. God wants our obedience, and when we aren't obedient to him, he can't use us, right? It can't be that partial obedience. Because he wants our loyalty to him. And we show that in our obedience by doing the things he's asked us to do, right? God has anointed us for ministry and in so many different callings, right? He has laid up good works for us ahead of time that he has called us to do. He can't use us unless we're willing to submit ourselves to him. We're willing to obey him. We're willing to cast off all rebellion and stubbornness and hard-heartedness and just revere him and love him and trust him. Essentially, it comes down to trust and having faith in his word and the things that he's said to us and believing that they're true. Believing that when he said, I care for you, that he actually does. Believing that he said that he loves us, that he actually does. Believing that he said, when you obey my commands, you show me that you love me. Right? And that when we seek him, that he'll guide our paths. So So we also have to seek him so he can guide our paths. We have to believe that when we do it, he will do those things. I'm just going to jump down to verse 30. So Saul goes, just to paraphrase really quick, that Samuel's like, sorry, God's taken his anointing off you. And Saul's like, please, I've committed a sin. I've done wrong. Forgive me. And then he says, I know I've sinned, but please at least honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel by coming back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel finally agreed and went back with him, and Saul worshiped the Lord. This is his heart issue right here. He cares more about what the elders and everybody else thinks than what God thinks, right? And to me, I'm like thinking about David versus Saul. David does all these other things that are awful as well. He's a murderer. He's an adulterer. He does a lot of awful things, right? But God says that he's a man after his own heart. The difference between Saul and David is their hearts. David always repented, and it was a true repentance where he wanted to come back into relationship with God and do things God's way. David wanted to do things God's way, whereas Saul, he wants to do things so that the people will glorify him and look to him with reverence, not so that they will look to God with reverence, right? The difference is, where is our heart at? And are we trying to do things to glorify God, or are we trying to do things to glorify ourselves? Okay? Amen. Amen. All right. God is not going to bless something that we are doing if we are in direct disobedience with him. And so we got to remember that when we know what he wants us to do and we're not doing it, then we're missing the mark. And when we're doing that, we're not in that fear and trembling, that scripture that I read at the beginning. We're not working out our salvation. And obviously, we don't work for salvation, right? We're already, once you come into the relationship with Jesus, you're already moving forward to eternal life. However, God has still called us to do good works, and he wants us to work in our salvation, right? Because then he's going to give us good gifts in heaven, right? So he wants us to continue, though, in that sanctification process that actually draws us near to God. It shows us, shows him that we love him. It shows us that we revere him and have that fear and trembling of him, okay? And when we don't obey him, then we don't recognize God in our lives, and that he has paid the ultimate price for us and given us eternal life. We don't honor that. He wants us set apart like him, and he has called us to sanctify ourselves so that he can use us for ministry. He's anointed all of us, right, in the body of Christ. And the body, Christ, rejects sin, right? And any body part that operates without faith is a dead body part. Because faith without works is dead, right? We can't move forward and do the call that God has on our lives without that faith and trust in him. So what do we do? All right. This is the teacher part. Okay, well, what's the action? You gave me a whole spiel on how I'm messing up. I'm just kidding. That's not what the spiel is, right? Just an example that we can all relate to some of those things. But what do we do now? What do we move forward in to sanctify ourselves? God put this scripture on my heart about that. It's 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. So if you guys want to go to 1 Peter with me. I actually already have it on here, but there, I'll give you 1 second, patience, turn around, done okay, okay, so it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares or your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. And I encourage you guys to mark down that scripture. And I would even go back and read just above it and below it and get that full context there. He's teaching us how to be good students and how to be good teachers as well. So, therefore, humble yourselves. When we humble ourselves, we have to stop doing things in our own strength, essentially. And that came up a lot, right? I just talked about that a lot. We have got to make the determination, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I do need you. I need you in every aspect of my life, in the small things, in the big things, in the daily things, the things that I'm walking out in. I need you, God. It's that poor in spirit. It says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, right? For they will inherit the kingdom, I believe. Okay? Correct me if I quote it wrong. Anyways, but it's that poorness in spirit. When we're poor in spirit, it's that recognition that we need God and we can't do things on our own. We have to stop saying, I got this, I can handle it. We have to say, I can only do this with God. God, I can only live every single day with you. I can only have a good day if you're in it. I can only do the right things if you're in my world and if you're in my life and if I'm seeking you and if I have you before my eyes. No longer just thinking, what can I do? How can I get through the day? Right? It's like that song, we were made to thrive. We're supposed to have a better day than just getting through. God wants us to take us above and beyond, right? That. Okay? We can't continue to build monuments to ourselves and saying, look at what I've overcome. And wow, I'm doing so great. And I'm proud of, you know, my accomplishments and all this stuff. We have to think about what I'm proud God worked in me and did this. I'm so happy for what we boast in Christ, right? We're going to boast in the things that God has done in us because God is awesome and God is amazing. And we want his light to shine through us, right? And that's exciting. I love the things that God has done in me. And I'm excited about those things. And I'm excited for the things that he's going to continue to do and carry out in me. And we should all be excited for that. And we don't want to take credit for the glory that God has given us. So we have to humble ourselves before him and trust him. It says that he's going to lift us up in due time. When we humble ourselves, it's about bringing ourselves low and trusting that God is going to lift us up. We want to be lifted up in God's glory, not in our own glorification, right? I hope that that's our heart, right? Humility is as easy as just saying, God, I need you in every area of my life. And it's as difficult as letting go of who you were before God, right? That's the hard part, is letting go of all the things that was me before I knew God. And then choosing to put on the new man. Choosing to say, I'm new in all these different areas. And God, I need you in all of these areas. And saying that sometimes, I think this is the hard part, is if Jesus walked into your house right now, or walked into your mind right now, trust me, he's already here, he already sees it all anyways. But if you imagine the physical Jesus walking into your house at a random point of the day, and seeing the things that you have on your wall, seeing the things that you're reading, seeing the things that you're watching, seeing my heart and the things that are in me. He already sees them, so it doesn't matter. But that physical imagery of him coming in, and how would I feel if God walked in? Those are the things that I think about when I'm thinking about sanctification and thinking about how, God, I can't do all those things. I can't get rid of all these things or change all these things. Those are the old man, and I need God to put on the new man. But that's the struggle. That's the challenge. Sorry, I think I got off a little bit there, but we're getting back on. That's the challenge of the sanctification and the humbling, right? Is getting rid of all the old and stepping into the new. I hope I came around and made that point. Okay. And then trusting God's going to lift us up. Because sometimes people think God's a killjoy. He's going to take away all my fun when I let go of all these things. But you have to trust in the Word. The Word said he's going to lift you up and exalt you. That sounds like a good thing, right? We got to trust God. He said it, so it's true, right? We can't worry about that looked like it was fun. Right? That was fun for a season. It says sin's fun for a season, but we got to trust in God that He said He's going to exalt us and lift us up. That's great. It's a daily action, right? We take up our cross daily. We have to humble ourselves daily because, trust me, our brains come back up. It's like Miranda said this morning about the battlefield of the mind. It just keeps on coming, right? We have to look to God every day and acknowledge Him that He's with us every day. We have to remember that He is there. His eyes are upon us every single day. And we have to begin to cast our cares and our worries upon Him. This is the big thing. I think what God was really speaking to my heart is that it's the small cares every single day that we have to begin to give to God. We're really good about, I have a sickness, let's pray for that. I have a lost family member, let's pray for their salvation. Sometimes we're okay with praying for addiction or something like that. In a big sense, in a one-time prayer. But then what about the small things, the daily things, where it's like, I'm struggling today in this addiction. Am I submitting that to God? I'm struggling today in how I feel about my lost family member. Am I giving that to God? I'm struggling today in my fear. Am I giving that to God? I'm struggling today in my inability to be patient with my children or at work or with my coworkers. Today's really hard. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Every little thing, God wants a hand in that, right? Yes, amen. He doesn't want us to do it on our own strength, right? Because when we do it in our own strength, we don't glorify God. We glorify ourselves, right? So He wants to be with us. He wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to cast our cares upon Him. And it says, because He cares for you. You have to believe that He cares for you and then cast your cares upon Him. He wants to take all your anxieties. He wants to take your stress away, but He can't do it unless you give it to Him, right? You have to continue to give it to Him. We condone all those small struggles because we think we can handle it and we think that it's normal. This is what we have to do. This is what everybody else is struggling with. That's the opposite of sanctification. We are set apart from the world. We're different, right? This is what makes us different. It's the small things that we begin to submit to God that actually brings us closer to Him because we begin to seek Him and we allow Him into our lives. We know that it's the daily actions that build habits. That's the daily actions that build that relationship with God, right? Amen. Yes. If you're seeing yourself have the same struggle week after week, you haven't truly handled it, right? You haven't truly handled that. So that's why we have to give it to God and care for that. I'm just about done. So sanctification begins by simply just giving all of our worries and our fears and anxieties to God and saying, I can't do it in my own strength. God, I need you. And doing it regularly and with faith, which is the trust that God's going to exalt you. He's going to lift you up, right, in His strength, in His hands, right? It says commit yourself into His mighty hands and that we are in His hand, right? And if you aren't willing to get in that hand, He cannot lift you up, okay? And that we trust He's doing it because He cares for us. We have to trust that God truly cares for us and He loves us and that He wants to work with us, right? And have that belief in Him. When we trust God and we cast our cares upon Him, that's when the sanctification begins. Okay? It doesn't always just happen right when we accept Jesus. We actually have to take a step forward and begin in that process and saying, God, I do trust you. I do want to be different. I can't do it without you. Right? All right, so I'm going to pray for us about this. And this is my handout, guys. I don't know. It's not homework. Oh, it is. I know, the young guys up in front, they're sad. Oh, it is a giant paragraph. I did type it up. So if you guys have any English people in here, Miss Hendrickson's not here, so we're good. I'm not an English person, so if I typed things wrong, it doesn't matter. It's a sanctification prayer that I just wrote up, and I put the scriptures that I used today on there too. So do you want to just put those out there for me on the... Just put them on in the foyer, and so and they can grab one. Yep. Yeah. So, and it's just a prayer, praying over these different scriptures, anyways, and proclaiming things that God has said about us. But and you just change it however you see fit for yourself. But sometimes we need that. Sometimes we don't know how to, we should pray, right? Mm-hmm. And we need some lift up, right? And what should be coming out of my mouth? Especially if we're new to prayer. We need some encouragement in that. So change it however you like, okay? It's just a prayer that I came out of my heart. All right, but I'm going to pray for all of us. Where'd my water go? Okay, Lord God, I just praise you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. You are just amazing, God. We love you. I thank you, Lord, that you do lift us up, Father, when we are willing to humble ourselves before you. I thank you that you care for us, that you love us, Lord, that you have put good works before us, Father, to just go out and minister to people. I thank you, Lord, that you're just filling us up with your love and your ability and your ability to love others, Lord. I just praise you and I thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you would search our hearts, God. Search our hearts right now and know our hearts. Know our anxieties, our stresses, our worries, and see if there is any evil in our heart or anything that displeases you, and lead us away from that and into everlasting life with you. And I just want to encourage the congregation now, like if God has put something on your heart right in this moment, and this is Psalms 139 that I'm praying right now, if God has shown you something that displeases him, I just want to encourage you, or any anxieties or stresses that you are dealing with, if something came right to your mind, I want to encourage you to speak that right now to God and just say, God, I give that to you, whatever it is. And I just want to encourage you to turn that over to him right now and begin that sanctification process and begin turning those things over to him. And you can just do it in a whisper, but that is a time to just take that time to repent of anything that he has brought to your mind. If God did bring something to you, this is the first step in sanctification. It's just to take that thing, because he's not going to do all the things at one time. He's just going to begin to show you one little thing, one action. Here you go. Right? What we can handle, he's working in our hearts. Lord God, I thank you that you do examine our hearts, that you do see who we are, exactly who are. You see us when we're sitting and when we're standing and when we're walking, when we're talking, Father God. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just continue to just walk with us, light our path, Father God. I pray that you would just tear down any walls of disobedience, stubbornness, pride, rebellion, and fill us with humility. Fill us with repentance, Father God. And above all, love, Lord. I just pray that you would just make it the humility accessible to us, Father God, that we would just have hearts of surrender toward you, Father God, just submitting our lives and our daily selves to you, Father God, that we would take up our cross daily and just love you, Lord, that we would look to you to want to do the things that please you, Father God. I just pray that you would put that in our hearts, Father, that we would have the desire to do the things that please you, Lord, that we would look for you in truth, Father God, and that your truth would just continue to set us free, Lord. I just praise you, and I thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's all I have for you. Have